All right. Let's go ahead and go to God in prayer here, and then we'll get into the message. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for those that are here today. Lord, I thank you for their faithfulness, Lord, and their willingness to serve you. And I just pray, Lord, that you would now have our hearts prepared and ready for your word, Lord, and that you would give me the words that you want me to speak today. And I just pray, Lord, that your will be done and that you would be blessed here today, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1. Now, you know, I like Nehemiah. Matter of fact, I like Nehemiah like a whole lot. I mean, I get goosebumps thinking about the kind of man that Nehemiah was, because he was a no-nonsense man. Those of you who were here Wednesday night, this is going to be kind of a review of what we talked about Wednesday night. We'll talk on a few other points. I do have some sermon notes here from First Baptist Church of Barberville to kind of help me with my outline. Okay, so some of this is not original with me, but I think it's good. Amen. All right. Let's look here, first of all, in the chapter 1, and look at verse 1 of Nehemiah. It says, "The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hechaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." The title of the message today is simply "The Vision." Is simply "The Vision." You know, a vision here begins as a concern. A lot of times, visions basically begin as a concern. You know, we have this this gentleman that I had just mentioned, Brother Elijah Elms. He has a concern, obviously, for Southeast Alaska. Now, we don't know if his vision is specifically Craig, amen, but he has a concern. And so we have Nehemiah here, who has talked to his friends here, basically, and has asked them how Jerusalem is, and they said, well, it's a mess. It's terrible. It's a mess. And so we see here is that Nehemiah had a concern. I have some questions here. It says here, or actually a statement I have here in my notes. I said, we are not personally involved as we should be sometimes. So then the question is, how concerned am I? You know, one of the biggest things that we battle with in the Christian society today is apathy. Is this apathy? And there's a real apathy towards the things that are right and the things that are wrong. And I'll tell you why. Partly is because of what kids are getting taught and what they're watching on TV and what they're listening to. They're being taught that there's relative truth, not absolute truth. They're basically saying, yeah, I'll agree with you that what's truth for you is not necessarily truth for me. That's what they're being taught. Right? By the way, you pray for missionaries. You really want to pray for missionaries that have to go into these countries that Hinduism is the biggest religion. Why? Because Hinduism says, you're a Christian, you worship God, great, no problem. I got like 500 other gods here that I worship, plus. So it's no big deal. By the way, that same type of apathy is being taught to our younger generation. So the issue is that you don't have anybody who's sold out for Christ much anymore. And you wonder why. Now, I think it's a little misguided. I've seen programs. I've read a little bit. You know, as I've always was always impressed with Israel, so to speak, and I watch their young people, and their young people sit there and they have a burden for Jerusalem, and they're gonna fight and protect Jerusalem, fight for Jerusalem. They're gonna protect Jerusalem, and rightly so. But I always sit there and go, okay, what are they doing to raise their kids to have a true concern and a true vision for Jerusalem, where our American kids just could care less? Huh? I don't know, because I haven't studied it that much, but that's just one of the questions that I have. And one of the things that I'm worried about as a Christian is that... is how concerned am I? And I guess the issue is here is that was what was interesting. Me and Fred kind of spoke just briefly last week. You know, it's nice to have a great sermon. It's great to sit there and say you're on fire for God. But what type of Christian are you? Are you going to get down in the trenches with people and love through with people? Because that's what makes the difference. Somebody's going to upset you. Somebody's going to upset your little apple cart and drive right over throw you in front of the bus and drive over you. Huh? Is that what they call throwing you under the bus? Huh? Taking advantage of you? What are you going to do? You're going to sit there and throw a big old fit and fold up your arms and leave? Or are you going to sit there and say, hey, I love God and I love the brethren and the sisters? Right? And I'm going to do what's right. And I'm going to invest my time. I'm going to invest myself into people. I'm going to invest the gospel. I'm going to invest the Word of God into people. Now, I'm kind of getting a little bit ahead of myself. A vision does not necessarily require immediate action. You know, Nehemiah had a vision for Jerusalem. Didn't he? But he wasn't able to act on that right away, was he? You know, those of us who are members of New Hope Baptist Church, there should be something deep down inside of you that has a vision for New Hope. Now, one of the frustrating things right now is you're not able to act on that right now, are you? Yeah, brother. Huh? Why? And it gets frustrating. I'll tell you, one of the most frustrating things in my life right now, believe it or not, is my big toe. Huh? Yeah. I walk around in these croc things and I feel naked half the time. You know, they got holes in them and my socks are showing, you know, and they're big and goofy looking. But I have to wear these because I can't. The doctor says this toe's got to air out and it's got to heal up right. Holy cow. Good night. I'm on like the fifth week now of this toe healing up, and it's healing up fine, folks. It just takes forever. I'm getting impatient with my toe. You know, I kind of got a little embarrassed the other day. I went like the fourth or fifth time into the pharmacy, and the ladies in there said, boy, we sure been seeing a lot of you. I said, well, that's what happens when you get your toenail ripped off. But I'm getting a little impatient. You know, and I would sit here and say, hey, let's work through this impatientness of waiting on a pastor. He said, well, well, what are you talking about? I'm super spiritual and holy. I do everything holy and right. And I've been praying and I'm not impatient, Brother Dill. Baloney. Baloney. My ears is wet. You know what that means? I've been having people crying on both sides. Huh? What are you going to do, Brother Dill? You got to get a pastor. I know. I hear you. But you know, Nehemiah had a vision though, and he had a concern, didn't he? And what's the first thing that he did? I'll tell you the first thing he did. He prayed, didn't he? He prayed. There's two active things that you can do as a Christian, right? In your communication to God. Let me rephrase that. There's two major ways that you communicate to God. Number one is through prayer. Right? The second one is simply just obedience. Yeah, that big O word. Obedience. Because that's what the Bible tells us is that God doesn't want sacrifices, blood sacrifices anymore. He wants sacrifices of righteousness, right? We can do that. Hey, amen. But by the way, prayer. Notice that Nehemiah prayed. Let me review verse 4. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Are you earnestly praying for your pastor that's coming? Everybody's looking at me like a cat staring at a new gate this morning. Because I sat there and I said, God has chosen the man. That man is on his way. Right? But number one, look at what he did. Look at what Nehemiah did when he first started praying to God. What's the first thing he did? He confessed sins, didn't he? He confessed sins, didn't he? Look at verse 7. He says, and he's talking about himself and the nation of Israel. We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Yeah, one of the first things when Nehemiah started praying to God is that he confessed his sins, didn't he? You know why confession of sin is important? So that you can keep a clear line of communication with God. Okay, you're all staring at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Amen. When you have indwelling sin in your life, that breaks your fellowship with Christ. It does not break your relationship with Christ, but it breaks your current fellowship. Because God says, I am absolutely holy, I am right, I am the light. And there is definitely a break when there is sin involved. Now, we're born-again Christians, right? And our sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future, right? But there also is a tone of keeping a short account with God. Yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean we have the liberty to just go off and do whatever we want. Right? Right? All right. That's part of good, basic Bible, amen? You know, we talked about that in Sunday school. Some of this we get a headache thinking about. But I'm here to tell you there's certain things that you're just going to have to accept simply by faith because God said so. That's just all there is to it. There's just certain things. In other words, you sit there and you go, this has given me a headache. The simple thought of man's free will and God's will working in harmony together just really throws me for a loop. I'm just going to have to accept that by faith. By the way, for me personally, that's why I'm not 100% Arminian nor 100% Calvinistic. I am a biblicist, amen, because I see clearly that God has given me a free choice, but yet God uses His sovereign will to guide that and to work with me. Amen? All right. So here's the issue is that it keeps our eyes, prayer, keeps our eyes and our hearts in the expectant mode. Now, I understand some of you live clear out in the boonies, and you guys are now fighting with, who is that up there in the north there? I don't even want to say their names. You know, I got this thing attached to my head. But you know what? I understand. You're a little frustrated. But you know, that's why we increased our services instead of decreasing. That's why we even though we're watching these old weird Hollywood Bible movies there, Brother John, and some of them kind of make me sit there on the edge of my seat and go, that isn't quite Bible, but that's good. Right? Amen. But you know what? The purpose of those and to have those services is to keep you in an expectant mode. Simply just to keep you in an expectant mode. It's not to teach you to be these just knocked down theologians. It's simply to keep you in that habit of expecting. And we're going to get into that. When God begins to move, are we only going to see it if we are ready and watching? I should say that again. When God begins to move, we are only going to see it if we are ready and watching. Right? Yeah. Nehemiah was expecting something, wasn't he? We're going to get into that. Notice, though, is that Nehemiah did not pray for God to rebuild the wall. He prayed for an opportunity to go build it himself.
You say, what are you talking about, Brother Bill?
Look at chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 5. It says, "And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it..." Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, okay. I'm reading verse 7. I don't want to go that far. I apologize. But see, here's the thing is Nehemiah said, "Hey, I'm not going to just pray about Jerusalem. I'm going to pray for an opportunity to go there." It's like Brother Fred. He's like, I don't want to talk about these missionaries. You know, I said, I want to go visit them. I'm praying for an opportunity. See, that's the thing is that, folks, is that we need to start praying that God doesn't necessarily, that we're praying for New Hope Baptist Church, but that we're praying for an opportunity to serve at New Hope Baptist Church. By the way, that's the difference between dreamers and visionaries. You know, this is not going to sound very nice and not very political. But once in a while, my team gets a little grouchy, a little murmuring. So what I do is I go up and I sit there and they start crying. And I say, well, I said, see the need, take the lead. Right? See the need, take the lead. I live by an old samurai code. You see, you win first, then fight. Right? Amen? You win first, then fight. All right, anyway. Hey, the point is this, is that they were praying for an opportunity. Are we praying for an opportunity to serve God and to worship God here at New Hope Baptist Church? See, and what I'm trying to say here, and I'm trying to say it as lovingly and as respectfully as I can, but you know what? It's not our job to sit here and just wait for a pastor. It's not our job to sit here and just wait for a pastor that's going to come and cure all of our problems at New Hope Baptist Church. Okay? We need to be praying that God brings the right man to us, and we need to be praying that God gives us an opportunity to serve Him. Okay. Number two here, and I'm running out of time. Number two is, notice that Nehemiah planned, though. Nehemiah planned, didn't he? Look at verse 7 of chapter 1, or I'm sorry, chapter 2. "Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come unto Judah, and a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to move beams for the gates of the palace, which appertain to the house and for the wall of the city and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me." So it said, when God has given us a vision, we need to go ahead and start developing a plan. You know, we walk a little bit of a tightrope here. I'll tell you why we walk a little bit of a tightrope, because we want to do enough and ask God and God for the opportunities to keep us active in His Word and active for service at New Hope Baptist Church. But we also want to make sure that we're very careful that we don't create something that's going to be a hindrance to our future pastor. Okay? Amen. By the way, most of you have already talked to me, and you know how I felt about that as far as a board of deacons. That's why I personally can see the use for them, but I don't think it would be the wisest decision. This is because I think you'd be hindering that poor pastor. Assuming you had the resources, what would you do? We already know what Fred's going to do. He's going to go visit the missionaries. Right? But what would you do? Assuming you had the time, what would you do first? Here's the kicker is pray for opportunities and plan as if you expect God to answer your prayers. What I said on Wednesday night was, I do a lot of praying, but I don't do a lot of expecting. Well, I'll do a lot of praying, but to be totally transparent, I sure don't expect a whole lot. And I realize I'm speaking to holy Christian saints that are better, that are more spiritual than I am. So you're probably just going, well, that's only you, Brother Dale, that struggles with that. So I say, okay, that's fine. But the issue is, hey, when you're praying and you're asking God specifically for His man to be placed here as a pastor, are you expecting God to do so? Or are we just going through the motions? All right, I'm not trying to be ornery, just being a little critical. Huh? Number three, and I was given strict orders to end by 12 today, so I got to hurry up. Number three, God is using your circumstances to position and prepare you to accomplish His vision for your life. Notice Nehemiah here real quick. He was the king's cupbearer, wasn't he? God put him in that position, not just because he said, you know, Nehemiah, I think you're going to be a good taster of liquid. No. God had a plan, didn't He? I would like to remind you, God's got a plan for New Hope Baptist Church. Right? But He's positioning you. You know, we talked about why we have to go through hard times, why we have to go through trials. Maybe it's because God's trying to position you. And if anything else, He's trying to position you to the point where you shut up and you just accept what He says to do. And you simply learn to obey. Well, you know, Brother Dill, I'm a very educated man, and the scientific education of all this blah, 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 blah goes contrary to the Word of God. And I think that I'm an adult enough to make my own decisions. Thank you very much. And, why don't you just shut up then, if that's really what you're saying, amen, and just follow what God tells you to do. You want to live a happy life? Just start obeying God. Notice here real quickly is that in chapter 4? Yeah, I don't know either, obviously, amen. Chapter 2, look at chapter 2, verse 18. Rise up and build. It says, then I told them of the hand of my God which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me, and they said, let us rise up and build. You know, notice how they all had this desire to sit there and to build Jerusalem. They were one accord. By the way, Nehemiah had spent the night before riding around on his donkey and visiting all the places that were tore down. he had kind of kept that to himself, and then he got them all together and said, hey, look, this is what is needing to happen. This is how we're going to do it. And they sat there and said, you know, that sounds like a great plan. Let us rise up and deal. You know, you simply are being faithful to what God has called you to do here at New Hope Baptist Church is helping to build. You know, that's why I sit there and say, thank you for the music ministry. Thank you for the Sunday school ministry. Thank you for the bulletin ministry. Thank you for whoever's standing outside shaking hands. Thank you for the little notes. Thank you for setting up the Facebook. Thank you for, because these are all ministries. Amen. These are all ministries. And what we're doing is we're still continuing to build. Now, don't lose sight of that. Please don't lose sight of that. Is yes, we're going to patiently wait for God's man, for a pastor, right? But we're also going to continue to build. Notice there in verse 18, he said, at the last part of verse 18, he said, and they said, let's rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. They strengthened their hands. How do you strengthen? How do you spiritually strengthen people? You disciple. You disciple them. Yeah. Okay. Must be time to go. Yeah. Notice here is there's two things. There's two aspects to this strengthening, right? And strengthening our hands for the good work. Number one is you come here for church to be edified, right? Let's make sure that we're sitting there and we're building each other up, not tearing each other down. Right? Right? So, because what we want to do is we want to strengthen each other's hands. Right? The other way that we do that is teach sound biblical doctrine. Right? But the other aspect of that is that just as much as we teach those biblical principles and that biblical doctrine, we want to make sure that we love on people too. And what I mean by loving people is you're going to spend time with them. Now, I got them teenagers. They're like, you know, I spend time with people on that online. You know, I'm playing my game. You know, I like some of that entertainment, and some of that entertainment is great. But it simply should just be that, entertainment for a short period of time. Right? Because, by the way, it's affecting you young people socially. You don't know how to talk to people, really. You don't know how to build relationships. And I'm not trying to be critical. I'm not trying to be judgmental. I'm just simply stating is that if you don't get out there and spend time with real people face-to-face, you're gonna end up being hurt socially. You're going to be hindered. And you know what? The point of this is that you've got to work with people. You've got to love with people. You know, one of the biggest things that, you know, my dad is kind of my hero. And I remember there was times in my life where I'd been kind of going through some rough times. And I remember calling my dad and I said, you know, Dad, I remember I was saved when I was 14 years old. And I remember my teenage years, Dad, and we just had a blast. You know, it wasn't these terrible stories that you hear of the 7 years of tribulation for most teenagers where it's a knockdown, drag out fight, you know, day in, day out with mom and dad and the teenager. You know, by the way, that would never fly in the Dill House. I tell my teenagers ahead of time, I rule with absolute authority and with an iron fist. You don't like it? Wait till you're 18 and move out. Right? You want to change it? You change it yourself. But you wait till you're 18. Until that time, you will do as you're told. Plain and simple. Anyway, the point is I talked to my dad and I said, Dad, what made the difference in our relationship? And he said this. He said, not only did we live together, he says we dreamed together also. You know what he told me? He said, the difference was, son, I spent time with you. Not only was I your dad and we just lived in the same house, but he says, I invested my time. You want to make a difference at New Hope Baptist Church and in the community of Craig, spend time with people. Invest yourself. The Bible talks about sacrifices of righteousness. That's just not sitting there going, oh, I know the right decision to make here, God. Thank you very much. It's also making a sacrifice of our time. Loving people where they're at, but yet not compromising the Word of God. Amen? Okay, real quickly. I know, I hear the kid crying. Second of all, and lastly, actually it's the third point in my message. It's going to take a team effort, folks. It's going to take a team effort. Look over to chapter 4, verse 17 of Nehemiah. It says here, they which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens, with those that laden, everyone with one of his hands, wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. That's why I like, Brother Nehemiah. You know, because he's like, look, these other two fellas, they might be a bunch of bullies on the block, but, that's not going to stop us from building the wall. Understand this, that there's people out there that will scoff and they'll laugh at you for wanting to come here to New Hope Baptist Church. You know, there's some people that have already sat there and just basically have wiped their hands of New Hope Baptist Church. We start calling. I'm on the pulpit committee. I start calling. They're like, who are you? I didn't even know there was a Craig, Alaska. But you know what? They worked together in the work. They saw the work that needed to be done, and they did it together. Now, some of them stood around with a sword and spear. That would have been me. You know, the Marine right there with my sword and my spear. I always said, you know, hey, you workers work, you know, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to protect. I'm just kidding. I probably would have helped build too. Only problem is I measure usually like 50 times and still, you know, cut too short. That's the way my projects go. By the way, I tell my wife, hey, I'll put in that light bulb right there. And it takes me an average of about 3 trips to, the true value in about 2.5 days on average. I don't know if I'm just not mechanically inclined anymore or if, it just looks, it's always harder than what it looks like. But anyway, folks, it takes a team effort. That's what we're here for. We're here to be discipled. And we're here to be discipled to the point to where you can sit there and show somebody in the Bible how they can know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Right? But that's going to take a team. That's going to take teamwork. Teamwork makes the dream work, right? And in order to keep the dream alive, that's why you pray. Right? Yeah, there was a vision. There's a vision here. Get it. Open your eyeballs. Pour some Visine in there. Do whatever you got to do. Put some biblical Visine in there. Sleep with your eyes open. Do whatever you got to do to get the vision. The vision is that God started a work here in Craig through New Hope Baptist Church, and God will see it to its end. And it will continue to thrive. God has His pastor for New Hope Baptist Church. He is on His way. By the way, you said you sound crazy. So did Abram. You imagine being visited, being a sheik and visiting old Abraham? Yeah, walk over there with my camel right up there. I'd say, hey, who's that? He'd say, oh, I'm Abraham. I'd be like, oh, a father of a nation. Where's all your people at? I don't have any. I'd be like, okay, all right. Don't you think you ought to change your name there, buddy boy? but yeah, I mean, you know, he was probably a laughing stock. But you know what? Folks, I'm talking about making a decision by a conviction and by faith. You know what the secret is of faith is? You know what the meaning of faith really is? Is to see afar off. And when you look afar off and when you look into that distance, right? Do you see New Hope Baptist Church still thriving? You should. You should, because why? Because God said so in His Word. Folks, I'm here to tell you, I've been here for a year. You know what? I told this on Wednesday night. You ever seen them big tree shakers that they use down there in the Central Valley for pistachios and almonds? They got this machine that goes, and it's got this little clamp, and it goes clamp around the tree. And it sits there and goes just like that. All the almonds fall off, and all the pistachios fall off. All the walnuts fall off. I feel that that's what God's doing to our church a little bit at times. But come along. Why? He's not getting you ready. I can get the ripened old fruit off of there so that you're ready for next year. So that you're ready for the new fruit that's supposed to be coming. Right? Yeah. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for today. I thank You for Your goodness unto us. I pray, Lord, that You would be with us. Help us to see Your vision for New Hope Baptist Church. Help us to be like Nehemiah, Lord. Help us to have a concern. Help us to have a burden. A burden not only for New Hope Baptist Church, but a burden for our community, Lord, that people would come to know You as their Savior. What we need to understand, Lord, is that it comes from us making a decision to let us rise up and build. It comes from a decision to sit there and say, let us strengthen our hands so that we can do the good work. I pray, Lord, that You would give us a burden for that. And that You'd press upon our heart that we have to have a vision. And we have to see Your vision. Be with us, I pray, Lord. Bring us back throughout the rest of the week. In Jesus' name, amen.